Welcome into the latest Golf Channel podcast presented by Top Golf. I'm your host, Will Gray. And before we introduce today's guest, I will point out that this program, we've talked to lots of pro golfers. We've talked to lots of pro athletes who enjoy golf. And now in the interest of looking at both sides of the issue, we bring in a man who made headlines last week for his unabashed stance against golf. The man has no time for golf, and yet here we are on the Golf Channel podcast. That would be Washington State head football coach Mike Leach. Coach, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, I appreciate your having me on. Yeah, I've never liked golf, and I'll tell you, and I know it's a minority opinion, and I'm sure I'm probably wrong because there are some very brilliant, talented people that love golf, but I'm not one of them.
That is fair. That is fair. Now, just to recap, for people that weren't clued into some of your remarks last week in an interview at practice up in Pullman, just to recap, we've got, you say it's golf is boring. You don't care about where the ball is going to go. You think people are trying to do things with a stick and ball that they can't do with a rifle and a scope, and that golf is basically for people who need practice at swearing, and you do not need practice at swearing, and so no time for golf. Is that about accurate?
That's nearly 100% true. My experience golf started when I was a kid, and it did help a great deal that I'm predominantly left-handed. I still have my right hand, but I'm predominantly left-handed, and there weren't left-handed clubs. So I had my dad and brother loved golf, and they golf all the time. And I was older, but my dad and my younger brother, they loved golf. And so, you know, you couldn't go anywhere without them talking about golf. And, oh, well, did you see the way the seventh hole bent and the hole, you know, and the ball just did that. I mean, they could amuse themselves for hours with a little white ball that might have rolled. Maybe it did roll, maybe it went here. Maybe the thing stuck. And they could go on and on and on. And I mean on and on for hours. And I'm going, you know, all kinds of great things happen. You know, I mean, football, somebody knocked the hell out of somebody. Baseball, you know, you see some guy jack the thing, or maybe there's a fight, or, you know, Jack Clark and Mike Socha collide at the plate, you know, stuff like that. So then, then the madness got worse. I mean, because, see, I grew up in Wyoming, and of course, there are times we'd go all over the country and different places or be on some kind of a road trip. And, you know, you drive past a golf course, there'd be a golf course, and they'd start circling like sharks, you know. I mean, it would be like... Then it would be this feigned innocent conversation, which was, you know, my dad would say, "Wow, Tim, look over there. I mean, that's a nice little setting for a golf course." And Tim would say, "It sure is." And then my dad would say, "Well, maybe we ought to just pull in and check out. We don't really have any time, but let's just look at it. I know what's coming. I go, no, let's not go look at it. I go, pretty, but not worth looking at because we're in a hurry. You know, it'd be one of these 8-hour trips you're on or whatever. And so then, they pull up the road, tentatively pull up the road. And he'd say, you know, I'm not doing nothing. Maybe we could go hit none. And Tim would say, he'd say, well, our bags are in the back of the car. And I'd say, no, let's not go hit nine. We're doing plenty. We're on the road. We got to get going, you know. And, they'd eke their way out there. And then pretty soon we're hitting 18. And I've read the magazine, you know, sat in the golf cart and read the magazine I brought with me 3 times. And, yeah, that's kind of my relationship with golf. The other thing is you go out there and everybody says, well, let's go out there and we'll get our business taken care of. You know, we got a lot to talk about, but you know, it'd be a lot more pleasant to do it out on the golf course. Let's go out on the golf course, do it out there. And so you go out there, and first of all, the other thing I don't like is it's pretentious. There's a lot of rules.
That's true.
Let's don't do it this way. Don't do it that way. You walk between my ball and the hole. You know, this guy has to go first. You go after he does. I mean, all these rules I don't understand. And then, so they have all these really uptight rules, and you have to wear certain clothes. But then, you know, and you can tell there's a subtle internal rebellion going on with golf, because and where that subtle internal rebellion manifests itself is they really liven up the clothes. I mean, they're beaten down by all the little subtle rules. They'll really liven up the clothes, maybe have knickers, maybe they'll have a floppy hat or something like that. You know, we've got all these really uptight rules, and yeah, I'm going to bite your ass off if you break one of them. But look, hey, I've got really casual, cool clothes, you know? And then, as you're going out there to get your business solved on the golf course, it starts right from the beginning. You start the first tee box. And some guy's going to say, okay, now I need to aim this ball right there, that little lump right there. And if I get a good backswing, I'm lighter off this foot, such and such on my front foot. And if I grip it this way, it'll hit right there. And, you know, they've just described something that you can't hit with a sniper scope and a rifle, but they're going to do it with a stick and a ball. And so, you know, immediately I realized, okay, he's going to do it like this, he's going to do it like that. And, of course, the ball won't go there. It's not going to go there. It might be a great shot. It might even be the best shot I've ever seen, but it's not going to go there. And then... Of course they hit, and it's not going to go there. And then the other thing, they'll give you all kinds of advice on how you should hit it, how you should hold your club, how you should put your left foot. That's perfect, you know, all this. So then you swing, your ball doesn't go there either. And then after a while, I just sort of gave up. Just swing as hard as you can, and hopefully it flies, you know, a long way somewhere. And then... Then as you're approaching the hole with them, then it's going to be, if I would have just done this, a little less on my front foot, a little more on my back foot, a little steadier on my back swing, pulled through with my front arm, the ball would have gone, I would have hit that spot. No, it wouldn't have. I mean, of course it wouldn't have. The ball would have gone somewhere else, but it wouldn't have hit that spot. And then... And so it goes, and that goes on for 18 holes. And that goes on for 18 holes. You never talk about your business. Or relaxing on the golf course. I thought that's a good one, too. Let's go relax on the golf course. Well, they're swearing they're swearing before the end of the first hole. And looking at their equipment, funny, throwing their equipment. They say, well, you know, I don't go there to golf or to go take it seriously. I go golf because I just like to have a beer. And I'm thinking, you know, there's bars for that. there's bars for that. And at those bars, they have oftentimes attractive women and music going on. You know, I think it's reasonably well documented. I'm pretty good at swearing, so I don't need to sharpen up on that.
Fair.
And I think some people in their life may need golf. I tell you, I do know one unique golfer that almost makes it worth the price of admission. And I'm not going to say his name because because he'll practice his swearing on me probably. Okay, so I got the and Coach General loves golf, but they fancy themselves as golfers. Fancy themselves as golfers would probably be the more appropriate word. And when you go to these golf tournaments where they'll have fantastic prizes sometimes, and you know, best ball, and some team will have some ringers or whatever, you know, a team full of ringers, and you know, and if I'm driving the car around, you watch the ringers play, and then when you go hear who wins one of these tournaments, and you know, who ends up getting first place there at the end of the thing, it doesn't take long to realize what they meant by the saying that the pen is mightier than the sword. You know, the somebody that's got good pencil skills ends up winning that thing, and everybody ends up mad. But the guy I know, okay, so coaches fancy themselves as golfers, and I know this guy. And you know, we'd have the events, and you know, there were guys that really loved golf, worked on it all the time, and then you know, and a couple others that were flat out good at it. I don't know about great, but flat out good. And this guy's kind of one of known as one of the real hothead coaches, and he is a hothead. And so he says he would go, and usually from my experience, and you guys are the experts, that's why you got a channel around this stuff, but it seems to me that golf in particular, of all sports, it's important to be calm. It's important to be an even tempered person. And if you're a lose your temper guy or blow a fuse guy, that's pretty counterproductive to your ability to play. And this guy would go out there, and his brother would play some. It's very meaningful to his brother. And this guy would go out there and he might, and just, I mean, just steaming the whole time. But he was really, really talented. He was really talented at it. Would hit good-looking shots. Would beat all the guys that were good golfers. But he'd go out there, and after, you know, after all, sometimes hit his way along, and you know, and because this was more of a social tournament, really. So then hit his way along, and he'd always win by several strokes or be the best of, you know, among, you know, our little group. And then, but there were days he would go out there, you know, he'd be ahead by four strokes after about three holes, and then hit one bad shot.
That's all it takes.
Blow a fuse. He'd go, all right, hey, you know what? I'm out. What do you mean you're out? You're killing everybody. You're in by four strokes. No. You know, screw this. I'm out. He'd take his putter. It seemed to me it was usually a wedge or a chipper. I can't, but he would swing, and he'd always have a you know, something new as he came to the court. And you can see why, because there were quite a few casualties. That thing would end up getting flung into the pond or wherever. And he would storm off the golf course and go, hey, when it's over, I'll see you when it's over. Call me when it's over and we'll meet downtown. But I'm out. He says, screw this. He says, I'm not doing this. And he just ignite. But the unique thing about him is he was a series of explosions and yet a good golfer. And I'm familiar with enough golfers. I haven't seen that very much, because if you're an explosion guy, you're usually a horrible golfer, but this guy was just truly a skilled guy and just good at it, naturally good at it, inexplicably good at it, but was a series of explosions.
Well, I would say a series of explosions and a pretty good golfer kind of describes a handful of PGA Tour players, but that's neither here nor there. I will respect the fact that you have very well-reasoned arguments for your stance on golf, and we can leave it at that. But your day job, when not expressing your stance on our sport, is of course running the football team up at Washington State. You had your spring game this past week. You had the final spring practice yesterday. Where do things stand? How do you feel about the state of the program heading into a little bit of a break and then the fall season?
I think pretty good. I just thought of more golf. That's the thing, you golf guys that dominate the mind, the psyche, the world on everything. As you're asking me that, I thought our spring ball went fantastic. And it really did, because we've got a lot of new faces. We're a very eager team. Played really hard, and I thought that our spring game went really well, because spring game, you only have so many reps, and you want to get everybody in, but you want to get good work. Keep working in it until you do get good work, so it's important to start fast. So I thought all those things happened. This was the best spring game I've been a part of. Two real quick notes, and I don't know who rated it this, but it really is a nice golf course. For those that do enjoy golf, and we have some around here that are very nice, because we're right by Coeur d'Alene. We're right an hour and 20 minutes outside.
That's Idaho, right? Just over the border?
Yeah, because we're 8 miles from the border. So Washington State in Pullman, Washington, and we're 8 miles from the University of Idaho in Moscow, Idaho, and then just north of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which has some gorgeous golf courses, and then we have a university fundraiser at Suncadia, too, which is fantastic. But on our campus, they say, and they've had the Pac-12 championships here a number of times, some outfit rated our campus golf course as the second highest rated campus golf course, because we have these really rolling and lumpy green hills. And so it's
that's Palouse, right? The Palouse is all hill country up there, correct?
Yeah, once you get back there, it does actually look like you're in Scotland a little bit, on those hills. But the most unique hole, I need to go take a picture of it. Somebody ought to do this. There's a hole that's just a very unique scene. So our university studies grizzly bears. We're big at studying and researching grizzly bears. And, we'll study them just because they're grizzly bears, how big their eyes, how big their paws, how long their claws, how many times does a grizzly take a dump a day? We'll do all that, okay? But then the other thing, stuff like, a grizzly's heartbeat goes down when they hibernate, so how can we help heart patients, okay? And so we have this, and this is exactly the time of year that this occurs that I'm talking about. And so then in the spring, the grizzlies come out, and the grizzly preserve's right across the street from the golf course. So they'll be out, and you'll see them running around on the hill inside the preserve there. But there is this visual where, okay, all of a sudden you drive up this hill on your golf cart, okay, and you're at the tee box. You're at the tee box, and you're getting ready to hit, and on the hill just opposite of you, it's covered with grizzly bears. And as you're getting ready to hit the ball, it's apparent to you that the grizzly bears are going to beat you to your ball. and plus, the grizzly bears are very likely to get you. And so as you're on that tee box looking over at the opposite hill, I mean, it's just a clean view of you're on this hill, the Grizzlies are on that hill. It's just a short space away. And, you know, what you don't see right away between the hills, of course, is a big fence that keeps the Grizzlies from getting over to the golf course. But, you know, you literally have this perfect view of golfers and Grizzlies just right there, you know.
See, down in Florida, we deal with gators on the golf course. We do not have quite as many grizzly bears, although I feel like that's a pretty fair hazard to have to navigate when playing. Let me ask you this. Like I said, we're in Florida. We're based in Orlando. We have a lot of UCF folks in and around our office.
You've killed water moccasins with your club, then, if you're down there.
I've dealt with, I haven't had a water moccasin, but I've had, you end up with a couple snakes that do pop up here and there. But it's mostly gators. You got to try and, you know, do the zigzag motion, things like that. We have a few, you know, just keep you on your toes. But so I want to say we're in Orlando, we're in Florida, a lot of UCF folks. Do you have any thoughts? What's your stance on UCF raising a national championship banner from their undefeated football team last year that got a lot of attention around our parts?
You know, I'm a big fan of a massive playoff, and then, you know, we wouldn't have these disputes. I mean, the gripe everybody that maligns UCF on such a subject is the fact that they don't believe they played as challenging a schedule as some other schools did. And then, but the thing is, you know, the whole thing is quite political. And then, you know, polls and averaging polls and computers and all this stuff. I think we need to have a massive playoff system. I think it needs to be. I'd love to have 64. I think you could do 64 pretty easy. I think the minimum you want to have is 16. And then it's settled on the field, and everybody can say, well, this guy was injured, or this guy stumbled, or the ref made a bad call. But at least, you know, the battle is out there on the field, and it's determined on the field. And you can say, well, all right, you went through, you know, all these teams to you know, prevail, so therefore you deserve to be the champion. And I think that would have solved it. I think it'd be very exciting for everybody. I think the reason they don't do it that way is because they can't sort out who gets the money, and it's kind of power and control, because it's indisputable it would make more money. You could have 64 and settle it 16 games. The champion plays 16 games. You'd have to cut the regular season down to 10. And then, you know, you select your 64 team tournament. And then, and I would have anybody that doesn't, you know, everybody's allowed to play 12 games. So if you're not selected for the 64, then you can play NIT games with other teams that aren't selected, you know, to work the budget. What would be exciting about that is they'd be, you know, like teams, could be teams across the country that don't play each other often, and these teams could play in during the natural breaks that you would have in the playoff system. I think it'd be incredibly exciting. I think it'd be a blast. And you know, and all this, well, people won't attend games. Well, that's ridiculous. You know, of course, you know, you get the nation engaged in watching this stuff, and all of a sudden, you know, just like out here's Gonzaga. Well, all across the country, there's all kinds of Gonzaga fans. And why is there all kinds of Gonzaga fans? Because over the years, they see him going playing the basketball tournament and in advance. And, you know, make life exciting. And they don't even know. There's an awful lot of Gonzaga fans who probably don't even know where Gonzaga is located. Okay, but they've gotten to watch them play tournament after tournament, prevail in game after game, impressive showing after impressive showing. Okay, and then they get engaged because of the tournament every year. You know, of that basketball tournament. That's what would happen in football, too. I mean, people would want to see if they could get it done. All of a sudden, there's UCF. UCF get it done, and they finish this thing out. And then, you know, and that's what I think needs to happen.
Well, I'm sure that a 16-team playoff, a 64-team playoff, either option would be very welcome to the ears of some of the UCF fans around our office. Let's close things out here. I want to do a little word association here. We can run through a couple of these. Very curious to get your thoughts on a few key terms. We're going to start with country club.
Uptight.
Okay. Social media.
Oh, geez. You're determined to make me swear here. Okay, social media, clutter.
There you go. Okay. Bitcoin.
Something I've heard of but don't know what it is.
Okay. Tiger Woods.
The first thing is, I actually saw him in the tunnel when we played Stanford, when we beat Stanford a year ago. Tiger Woods, I see a picture because he, you know, on TV he looks so long and has that really graceful swing. I see the long figure of Tiger Woods taking that swing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I see the long picture. The Nike golf shirt that is probably his line that I wear them all the time because we're a Nike school. I see him taking that swing. I see the long figure of Tiger Woods and that club up high getting ready to come around.
All right, we'll end on this. This week, the PGA Tour event in New Orleans, the Zurich Classic, they're allowing players to use walk-up music for the first time ever, where they can choose the song they want to walk up to the first tee. If you were to get back into a relationship with golf,
on deck, circle, and little.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they're finally coming around. So, what would be the Mike Leach walk up music?
I don't know. Take It Easy by the Eagles. Let's see. Take It Easy by the Eagles. Well, I'm a big Jimmy Buffett and Neil Young guy. Take It Easy by the Eagles would be a good one, you know, from that time. And somebody else will have already gotten the AC/DC things will have been picked through.
Yep.
If you found a really good Jethro Tull, something like Jethro Tull would be good.
These are some good choices here. They just had Jimmy.
You can throw out an Alice Cooper one.
Jimmy Buffett and
Leonard Skinner.
There you go. All right, that's good. I was going to say Jimmy Buffett and the Eagles just played a concert down here. That would have been right up your wheelhouse. Could have had you in the stand.
Together they did, huh?
It was good. It's a good show.
Because I got a little bungalow in Key West. I go by Jimmy's studio all the time. I actually know the studio manager down there and his stage guy, and who are great guys. I've never met Jimmy before, though. I've met the gypsies in the palace. I've never met the homeowner. I've met the gypsies in the palace.
There you go. Well, Coach Mike Leach, Washington State head football coach, I appreciate you taking the time to be on this Golf Channel podcast presented by Top Golf. If you ever want to get back into golf, like I said, you have very, very well-reasoned arguments against it. But let's just put it this way. The first round is on the house. If you want to get back, maybe do some light swearing and, you know, try and take a couple shots like you would with a sniper rifle. We're always here for you.
Yeah, or they could have full contact golf, you know, like where they could put gear on everybody and then, you know, your opponent's 10 yards to the side. You get the backswing in. And So the idea is you hit the ball, and he's going to come smoking at you. And you hit the ball, it evade him, and then, you know, once you get out of the circle, he can't hit you anymore.
There you go.
You got the anxiety of the guy trying to stroke you as fast as you're stroking the ball.
I think that we can pitch this to our Golf Channel president. We can have this put together by springtime next year. You can come off of your spring practices in 2019. We'll head right to the edit studios. We'll make this happen for a Golf Channel original production. But thank you again, Coach Leach, for taking the time to join us today.
All right. Well, thanks so much for having me. It's good to talk to you guys.
All right. Well, good luck the rest of enjoy the offseason, as short as it is, and good luck this season. I'm your host, Will Gray. This has been another edition of the Golf Channel podcast presented by Top Golf. Thanks for listening. Feel free to subscribe, golfchannel.com/podcast. We'll see you next time.